really encourage you with the shoebox for the children. And we got a lot of heads up this year, so we should really try to do that. It goes through Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, really reaching a lot of hungry children. Now, I want to encourage everybody here. TBF needs to finish the summer strong because, like, you know, next Sunday we have a potluck, so we want that to go well and a chance to fellowship with one another, maybe invite friends. The Sunday after, I'm going to be preaching the two services at Polsbo Community Church, and it's going to be the same message given twice. That's the way they do it there, and I'm not sure. Pastor Willis, you know what time their services are? Okay, so it's like a 9 o'clock and maybe a 10:30 or maybe an 11, something like that. And so that's 2 weeks from today. But what we're going to do, because some people forget and they show up here, and then we have first-time visitors that show up here. So somebody like Pat, so Pat will be preaching here. And so you really want to, you know, and by the way, I'm not offended in the least if you choose to come here. And instead of there, it's kind of, I do a favor for Pastor Loney and Pastor Gordy, but I really try to get out of it because it just is just like, this is what I do on Sundays with my people. And so if you do want to come out there and make sure you say hello to me, it'd be a good thing. But just keep that in mind so that we do finish strong. I hope you'll join us for a piece of cake after the church service for my wife of 32 years, and other than Jesus, she's the best gift I ever got. So join us for a piece of cake afterwards. I want to thank Willis and Dee for taking care of that, and just continue. Was that? Yeah. But the Lord is good. Yesterday, that concert in the park went really, really well. The concert was more of a praise and worship thing. I love it when Christian bands maybe perform on two songs, and then the other 15 songs are all praise and worship. And I'd rather worship than go to a concert. So that was really good. The comedian was a Christian Arab from Nazareth, named Nazareth, and he was a really, really funny guy. So if you want to look him up online and get a few laughs. And then I was able to give the gospel message. I was able to witness the Mormons afterwards. But there were a lot of people there. And what I found, we went for prayer afterwards with some of Kathy's relatives way beyond the area on the other side of the restrooms, and you could still hear everything. So it wasn't just the people who were there, the several hundred people that were there. There was also a few hundred more people just hanging out and on the waterfront, that whether they like it or not, they heard the gospel message. And so that was a real good thing. What we're going to try to do, we'll go through Pastor Willis, is try to help out more with next year's and stuff like that. So that'll be a good thing. So let's open up to Romans. Was it? Oh, the services are 9 and 11 at Polsbo Community Church. Something else I was going to say. I can't remember. What's that?
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks I'll be at Polsbo Community Church. Great people. It's on Finn Hill Road. If you're going down Silverdale Way and it turns into Viking Avenue or Viking Way, then you take a left at Finn Hill, and it's the first church that shows up on the left side. And they're really good people, really good people. So now we're going to be, and Mitch and T are back, so, you know, make sure you give them a hug. It's just great seeing them. There he is over there, so God bless you. Romans 10, we'll be picking it up at verse 14. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time for His anointing on the preaching of the word. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we love you, Lord. And it just amazes us that you give us your grace and save us through the work of your Son, the death and resurrection of your Son. but it also amazes us that you choose to use imperfect people like myself to do your perfect will. And the only way that can be done is if the Holy Spirit works through us. And so I pray, Lord, that for the sake of the people that are here, for the sake of your kingdom, that you would anoint me with your Spirit and empower me with your Spirit so that I would proclaim your truth and so that I would not lead anyone astray. So please, Lord, don't let my own faulty ideas or the wisdom of man get in the way. I pray that your truth would be proclaimed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open hearts and minds, including my own, to receive your truth, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate our minds and our hearts to receive your truth, and that the Holy Spirit would empower us to apply these truths to our lives so that we could be all that you call us to be. Lord, remind us that in your church, there are no regular people. In your church, there are no just insignificant people. That we are sent by you on a mission from you to proclaim Jesus to others. And so remind us, Lord, that we're just passing through, that we're ambassadors for your Son, the Lord Jesus, our great God and Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so where we left off again, Paul's talking. He shared his gospel message in Romans chapters 1 through 8. He gave us, we're all condemned. We can't save ourselves. We can be declared righteous by God, justified if we trust in Jesus alone for salvation and acknowledge our sins. So we trust in Jesus for salvation. We're not saved by works. We're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. Phil Fernandez is going to heaven not because Phil Fernandez has done things that earn heaven. None of us. Jesus was the only one who lived on this planet and perfectly obeyed God's commands. Phil Fernandez is going to heaven because he realizes, you know, I realize I am a failure. I cannot save myself, and so I'm going to trust in Jesus alone. I trust in Jesus and his power to save. Jesus is both willing and able to save. And so that's how we go to heaven, by trusting in Jesus. Now, how do we grow in the Lord? Same way. You don't say, well, now that I'm saved, I'm just going to go on sinning. No. How shall we who died to sin still continue in it? But you don't say, well, now that I'm saved, I'll put myself under the law, and through human effort, I'll please God. No. We're going to grow in the Lord the same way we got saved, by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. So Christianity is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not a list of rules and regulations. You trust in Jesus, and he empowers us through the power of the Holy Spirit to obey the spirit of the law, the true intent of the law, from the heart. That can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then in Romans 8, the day is going to come, we're going to be glorified, we're going to be perfected when Jesus returns. And our mortal bodies will put on immortality. Now in Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul's got to answer the question, well, then what about Israel? God chose Israel. Israel's going to be God's chosen nation, yet most of them don't believe in Jesus. He's the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of mankind. Are you saying that most of them are lost right now, Paul? And Paul's saying, yeah. Now, he's going to say in Romans 11, there's a remnant. I praise God. By the way, we're going to need to hear that message here in America. Because when we get battered and beaten, and when Christianity right now is progressively, very gradually, well, actually not gradual anymore, it's progressively being outlawed. Okay? And you're going to feel like Elijah and say, Lord, I'm all alone. I'm the only one. No, you're not. Because there is a remnant. There will always be a remnant. There will always be a remnant of Israel, Romans 11, and then in Matthew 16, the gates of hell shall not prevail against Jesus' church. There will always be a remnant. You feel like you're alone. Well, number one, the Lord's with you. He's not going to forsake you. You're not alone. And number two, there are other believers just like you. They're feeling like they're alone, but they're not. God had to tell Elijah, there's 7,000. And this is in the northern tribes, Israel, where they were sloppy. So there's 7,000 haven't bent the knee to the false god Baal, that are remaining true to Yahweh, the God of Israel. And so Paul's got to answer, well, what about Israel? So, well, God chose them, but they were still trying. They're his chosen nation, but not all Jews are saved. Not all descendants of Abraham are saved. If you're not going to trust in God and his promise to save, and instead you're going to try to earn salvation, you're not of the elect. And so now he comes to Romans chapter 10, and he talks about Jesus being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That once you trust in Jesus, now you have attained the righteousness that God requires for you to go to heaven by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. You could not attain it through works. And then we left off last week on verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he's calling, right up there in verse 9, you'll see, he's calling Jesus Lord, but he's quoting from the Old Testament where the word for Lord is Yahweh. So Jesus is Yahweh. Whoever calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Now he picks it up in verse 14, and he goes over God's method of salvation. This is the way God, you know, God has provided salvation for us in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But how does he apply that to the lives of the sinner? Well, his method is in verse 14 and 15. And the crazy thing is we're involved in that. We're involved in God's method of salvation. Look at verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him? So whoever calls on him should be saved, but how are they going to call on him? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You see, you're not going to call on Jesus for salvation unless you believe in him, unless you're trusting in him for salvation. So how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So, I mean, if you're going to believe in Jesus, if you're going to call on Jesus, you got to believe in him. But if you're going to believe in him, you have to have heard about him. And then he says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And by the way, don't be sitting there and say, well, that's good. It's your job, Pastor Phil and Pastor Willis and Pastor John and Pastor Pat. Great, that's your job. No, he's talking about you. By the way, how's your preaching been lately? How's your preaching been lately, brothers, sisters? You know, sometimes we preach with words, sometimes we preach without words. But we're preaching all the time. Okay? We're preaching all the time. The last time something didn't go your way in this cursed creation is probably earlier today, you know. Last time things didn't go your way, how did you act? Because you're preaching right there. And if you can act like a little baby and this and that and throw a tantrum, you're telling the non-believers of this world that Jesus really isn't the way. You're telling them, no, you could, these Christians, you claim that you trust in Jesus, he gives you his joy and peace, but not really. You mean your people are watching you. And a lot of times people walk up and say, how you doing, preacher? But the fact of the matter is I can walk up to anybody in this room. I could walk up to anybody in the body of Christ, the whole church, and I could ask you, how you doing, preacher? You know, the problem isn't, well, maybe I'm not a preacher. No, you're a preacher. If you don't think you're a preacher, then I'm kind of worried about, you know, I'm always worried about hearing a guy's sermon who hasn't prepared. Our lives are sermons, and we're preaching. It's just some of us don't even know that we're preachers, so how can we be prepared? But people are not going to call on Jesus unless they believe in him. They're not going to believe in him unless they heard, and they're not going to hear without a preacher. So how's your preaching lately? And I look around this room, believe me, I see people that just, you know, I'm overwhelmed how much you guys and gals love Jesus. But I can't preach the Phil Fernandez slimy standard. I can't say, you know, hey, in my book, you guys are doing great, so just keep doing what you're doing, okay? And we'll all be proud of the Phil Fernandez level of mediocrity. I got to preach God's perfect word. And last I read, the God of the Bible is always calling us to higher ground. You know, David kills Goliath, and God says, well, I got bigger giants for you to face, metaphorically. But there's more battles ahead. And sometimes, like David, we don't go out to battle, and we get ourselves in trouble. But how's your preaching been? We're all preachers. They can't call on Jesus unless they believe in him. They can't believe unless they heard, and they can't hear without a preacher. And in verse 15, I want to emphasize this a little bit. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Who sends us? If we're preachers, and all preacher means we proclaim God's truth. We're supposed to proclaim the gospel message to others. By the way, if I just say God bless you to everybody, eventually the people who are open, the conversation continues. And so it just becomes natural to walk in the supernatural. Wake up in the morning praying to Jesus, devotionally studying God's word, pray throughout the day. But there's nothing wrong with it. You know, before I was a non-believer, you know, I used and abused people. Now I'm a believer, and so the least I can do is wish God's blessings on everybody. But it's amazing. It's amazing if you wake up in the morning and you realize every appointment is a divine appointment. You wake up in the morning, you realize God gave you an extra day, not because he wanted to just give you an extra day. He wanted to give you an extra day to serve him. You know, and let me tell you, if there's only two things you remember from this message today, number one, you are a preacher. You might be the most quiet person around, okay? Maybe your health is so bad, all you could do is pray for people. That's fine, because somebody's watching you when you pray. And your prayers, there's some pretty good preaching there. But it's only two things you remember. You are a preacher, and you were sent. You might say, well, I'm not sure, Pastor Phil. I'm not sure I'm sent. Let me tell you, when God saved you, if he didn't take you home right there, he left you on earth, you're sent. Okay? You're sent. And so Paul says this, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? See, we're sent to proclaim his word. We're on a mission from God. Most psychologists will tell you, if you tell them, I'm on a mission from God, most psychologists will tell you, you're nuts. Let me tell you, that psychologist is nuts. God has a mission for every one of us, and some of us don't even get saved. So we don't even get in position where we're indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit to take on that mission. But God, and by the way, and you know, we think about it, oh man, boy, I want that mission. I want that glory. No, Jesus refers to it as a cross. You know, Jesus' cross, Jesus' mission was a literal cross. God might call some of us in this room to literally die for the cause of the gospel. With the way things are going politically, I'd be surprised if we all die of natural causes. Okay? Things are getting pretty ugly. But have you picked up the cross, the mission that God has given you? Have you denied yourself, and are you following Jesus in the path of obedience? Now, Paul's going to quote Isaiah 52:7 here in verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? We are preachers, and we are sent. Guess who's sending us? God is sending us. As it is written, even if the church sends you, the church in Antioch, Syria, commissioned and sent Paul and Barnabas to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, but that was only because the Holy Spirit told them to do it. Just read Acts chapter 13. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, what's going on there? What's going on there is, in Isaiah, see, you know, this is back before mail. This is, you, You couldn't have air mail. You didn't have cars. And so the way you'd send important messages, especially about battles, you get a runner. And the guy's like a marathon runner. He might have to run 50 miles. And I tell you, at the end of 50 miles, if you got a message to deliver to Jerusalem, and there are guys in the tower waiting for the message, at the end of the 50 miles, man, you're just dragging. Okay? You're dragging, and you look ugly. Okay? And the guys in the tower, when they look and they see a guy and he's running ugly, and he's got ugly feet, it's bad news. Okay? It might be, well, the Philistines whooped us again. Or the Babylonians whooped us again. Or the Syrians, whoever. The Assyrians, whatever it may be. But after 25, 40, 50 miles of running, if a guy's still got some bounce in his feet, if he's still running with his head held high, and if he's running like it's a joy to run, that guy's got beautiful feet. And the guys in the towers, what they understand is good news. So when Israel goes to battle, they're reporting that the Jews won, even or the Jews lost, even before the guy gets there. They could tell by his feet. And the Lord tells us, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Let me tell you, the next time you walk into a store, or a restaurant, or work site, you have beautiful feet. You know, Wednesday night, the guys will be going to Barnes & Noble. Do we walk in there with beautiful feet? Do we look like, man, people say, my life's a mess, but that guy looks like he's got the answer. He looks like he's got good news. He looks like he's bringing good news of peace, and he's going to preach good news of peace. Or when we walk in, it's just like, oh, that's just another guy who's just getting beat up by this world just like me. And we've got access to the joy of the Lord, and we are sent, and we ought to have beautiful feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. How can people believe unless they hear the gospel? Okay? We gotta preach the truth. Look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. In fact, we'll start at verse 18. This is the mission of the church, the commission, the great commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me, not some, but all authority, in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The Lord's saying, I'm with you, but I'm also sending you. Okay? Some of us don't feel like we're sent. Some of us don't act like we're sent. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. Jesus says this, talking to his disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's got to become a foreign missionary. Praise God that some Christians do. But what role do you play in this gospel that's going out to the entire world? Okay? Christianity right now is growing at a faster rate than any other time in history. We don't see that because it's in decline in America and in Western Europe. But in African nations, in Asian nations, in South and Central American nations, the gospel is growing at a faster rate than any other time in history. What role are you playing in that? Are you helping to donate to foreign missions? Are you praying for that? Are you witnessing to your neighbors? Are you witnessing to people on the job site? And because we're supposed to be witnesses of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. That's Bremerton. In all Judea. Now you're talking about like Washington State and Samaria and then the Pacific Northwest. And then from there it goes to America and then to the rest of the world. You know, I ran to Brad Walker last night, did the sound and stuff. And, you know, I see him about once every 15 or 20 years. We always run into people that know me, so he keeps up on my ministry, and I run into people that know him to keep up on his ministry. And he serves by doing the PA and all for Christian concerts and things of that sort and stuff. But I told him, and I tell this to very few people, but I say, you know, I don't want to know what Kitsap County would look like had you not ministered here. You know? There's another guy, Chris Clark. Years ago, back with Ellen Krasel, we got invited to all these church leaders and Christian leaders, and I don't know why they asked me to go, but, and this goofy guy graduated from Multnomah, and he was going to start Children of the Nations. And I looked at this guy, and I said, dude, we already got Compassion International. We already got ministries doing that. And I'm thinking, I didn't say anything, but I was thinking to myself, dude, you look goofy. I don't think it's going to amount to much. Children of the Nations is feeding thousands of children around the world, tens of thousands of children, and training them, teaching them about the Lord Jesus. And if there's a need, they'll meet it. And, but, you know, people like that, I don't even want to know what Kitsap County would look like spiritually if you took some of our brothers and sisters out. Greg Thatcher, with all the ways he led people in praise and worship, and he taught here for decades. But the fact of the matter is, how are you doing on the Great Commission? And you might say, well, even Pastor Phil, you don't understand, though. I didn't have the greatest education. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. You can make excuse after excuse after excuse. You know what? I can obliterate every one of those excuses by just reminding you, you have access to the power of the Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity. Okay? So don't be telling me, Goliath's too big for me. Okay? David understood his problem was bigger than him. Goliath was 9.5 feet tall. David was a teenager. He was probably only a little bit taller than me. Okay? Hopefully he grew after that. But his problem was bigger than him. But David understood what none of the other Israelites understood. King Saul didn't understand it. Eliab, his brother, didn't understand it. David understood, my problems are often bigger than me, but my God is bigger than any problem I could face. And so we are sent. How can people believe unless they hear the gospel? Somebody's got to proclaim it, and we're the ones who are called to proclaim it. Katie Witt is wearing, almost said Katie McCarthy, Katie Witt is wearing she didn't even know about today's message, but her shirt says, "Send me." Quoting from Isaiah the prophet. And by the way, when God sends, I got no problem with people not making excuses, but just acknowledging how messed up they are. You know, Moses, God said, you got to preach my word to Pharaoh. And he's like, I'm not an eloquent man. And so God said, okay, but your brother Aaron is. So you tell Aaron what to say, and Aaron will say it to Pharaoh. And but God loves, God can use humble people. Okay? And in fact, God is the only kind of people God can use, are humble people. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. So God said, no problem, I'm going to save you. I'm going to purify your speech. And now who's going to go for me? And Isaiah said, send me. You know, let's be honest. There's probably some of us in this room right now. who, when the Spirit of God is moving within us and telling us, you know, talk to that guy. Just tell him God bless you. Just tell him God loves him. Just talk to that guy. And there's an awful lot of us, you know what? God is saying right now, who shall I send? And there's an awful lot of us are saying, don't send me. Send somebody else. Okay? Did you know the seminaries of the rabbinical schools of Jesus' day, the school of Hillel, school of Shammai, Jesus didn't recruit any of those guys. I guess none of them were saying, send me. All the training in the world. Paul was one of those guys at that time. He was persecuting the church. He wasn't saying, send me. Sometimes, if you're a fisherman, if you're a zealot, even if you're a tax collector, you ought to be saying, send me, Lord, send me. And you know, God might call you to do something where lots of people watch and ooh and ah. Then again, God might call you to fix a widow's car. And when you're, last I heard, when you're underneath somebody's car working on it, Chuck, you know this. When you come out from underneath somebody's car, you don't get a standing ovation. Nobody's screaming, amen, brother. He just changed the belt or whatever. I don't even know. I'm trying to think of a part in the car. I don't even know the part. Anytime they talk to me about automotive stuff, I just get a glazed over look. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I'm telling you, the work we do in the Lord is not in vain. Because our King is risen, 1 Corinthians 15:58. But you got to, when the Lord says, who am I going to send? You got to say, send me. You know, Marine Corps boot camp, before I went to Marine Corps boot camp, the police from the Caldwell Police Department, they used to spar with the boxers, and when I used to box at the Caldwell Police Athletic League, and they were almost all of them were former Marines. And the only advice they gave me was, don't volunteer for anything. So whenever in the Marine Corps, you know this, Major, right? When you're in a Marine Corps in boot camp and they ask for a volunteer, you're supposed to like stamp your feet, oh, and then run to the drill instructor, and then if you're the first one there, you get to do whatever it is that you volunteered for. And sometimes you'd volunteer for something and find out you got to do it the whole 3 months of boot camp. And it could be laundry. I mean, it could be a bad duty. So taking the advice of the police officer when they ask for a volunteer, he's like, you know, give me two volunteers. He's like, I go, oh, and I just purposely hesitate and let about 20 guys go first and then pretend I was running fast. When God says, whom shall I send? How many of us do the fake send me? Some of us don't even do the fake send me. Some of us do the fake send me. But some of us, you know, all of us should do what Isaiah did and say, Lord, send me. I'll go. Not because I'm arrogant and prideful, but because I know whatever you call me to do, you'll empower me to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need that attitude. Where if we're going to be preachers and proclaim God's salvation, we got to be willing to go where God leads us, and He wants to send us all. Now, in verses 16 through 21, Paul talks about the present state of Israel, their disbelief. It says, verse 16 of Romans 10, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? That's Isaiah 53, verse 1. Isaiah saying, look, I'm making all these predictions about the coming Messiah, but nobody's even going to believe. You know? Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, when he's talking about his second coming, will he even find faith on the earth? You know what? The first time he came, he didn't find a whole lot of faith on the earth either. And look at the American church. when Jesus returns, will he find faith in America? That could determine whether or not, you know, we think, well, all these evil guys, and blah, blah, blah. They forget about the evil guys in American politics today and the evil gals. Not going to mention any names. Let's just forget about them for a minute. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were going to get the fire and brimstone depending on how many righteous people there were. So it's up to the remnant whether your nation gets judged or not. If we had a faithful remnant in America, you could have Jezebel ruling over us and we'd still do fine. Fact of the matter is, though, if we don't have faith in this, in the Lord in this country, if there isn't a remnant, you could have the Apostle Paul leading us and we'd still go down the tubes if we're not following. But Isaiah says, you know, Lord, who has believed the report? Not all obeyed the gospel. Verse 17, so then faith comes. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Now, St. Francis is always quoted as saying, always preach the gospel and sometimes use words. And there's some truth to that. There's some truth. Your actions got to back what you say. But the fact of the matter is, people cannot have faith unless they hear the word of God. You can't have true biblical faith. You're trusting the word of God, which teaches us the good news of salvation through Jesus. If people haven't heard it, they can't believe. Now, there are exceptions to the rule where sometimes it's not one of our I don't know if it was just that nobody wanted to preach to Saul because he was getting Christians killed. So Jesus said, fine, I'll get off the throne, and on the road to Damascus, I'll witness to him. A pretty powerful witness there, by the way. And he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so I have no problem. In fact, I'm very happy that Jesus has decided to give visions and dreams to Muslims throughout the world. And but by the way, they usually don't convert right away. They usually get interested in Jesus, start studying the Gospels, and then come to Christ a few months or a few years later. And then they lose their jobs. Some of them lose their lives. But just because every once in a while God does the exception to the rule, where he miraculously gets the gospel message to somebody, doesn't give us an exemption from being what God called us to be. And from doing what God calls us to do. Like it or not, if you're a believer, if you trust in Jesus for salvation, like it or not, you're a preacher. You're a preacher sent by God. You might not be a good preacher, but you're a preacher sent by God. By the way, by saying you might not be a good preacher, I'm not even talking about how articulate you are. Okay? Waldo and Cease knew me before I was saved. My wife knew me before I was saved. And they were doing a lot of preaching with their lives. I learned a lot of things from Waldo's rock-solid faith in Christ. He's a quiet man. I'm a loud, obnoxious guy, so God puts me behind a pulpit. But he's a quiet man. But let me tell you, there are some quiet men and quiet ladies that preach a powerful, loud message. Okay? But if you're a believer and God left you on earth, then you were sent by God to proclaim his truth. And we've got to be faithful to that. But not everybody accepts it. But faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me tell you, people need to hear about Jesus. We are so selfish. It's like, well, I heard about Jesus, and I accepted the gospel message, so now I'm saved, and then I could say something that sounds like I'm cursing. To eternal, for all I care, to eternal judgment with everybody else. Is that really the attitude we're supposed to take? Well, I'm saved now, Jesus, so look at all this wickedness in the world. Jesus, I wish you would come right now and just devastate all of them now that I'm on the Jesus ship. Right? They're not going to believe unless they hear the word of God. They ain't going to hear the word of God unless there's a preacher. We got to bear our cross. God might call you to witness to people that you're uncomfortable around. The more this country flees from God, the more uncomfortable we feel. God might call you today to witness to a homosexual. God might call you today to witness to a transgender person. Okay? It's not our job to judge them. We condemned ourselves. They condemned themselves. It's our job to give them the good news of Jesus. And that's not our job to water down the good news and say, oh yeah, what you're doing is not a sin. If God's word calls it a sin, you can put a gun to my head. I'm still going to call it a sin. Okay? Jesus saves us from our sin. If we're not going to call sin, sin, how in the world are we going to rejoice at his salvation? And so we must hear the word of Christ in order to believe it. And so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then verse 18, Paul says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. He's quoting from Psalm 19, where it's talking about God's witness of himself, witness of his existence through all of creation. So there's no excuse to be an atheist anywhere in the world. Okay? No excuse. Because the invisible God has made his existence and his power known to us through the visible creation, the work of his hands. Paul's applying that to the gospel. He's saying, look, if God can reveal himself to all mankind through nature, you think he's not going to get his gospel message out there as well? But so he's basically saying, you know, the whole world is heard to one degree or another. If you acknowledge that there's a creator God, and because of your fallen conscience where God reveals his moral laws to you, you acknowledge that you are fallen before him and you need his salvation and you seek God, anyone who seeks the true God, will get the gospel message to him. And you know the normal way he does that? He sends a preacher. You know, we got a guy in a church that loves the Lord, and I taught his daughter at this school, and she was one of those crazy people, decided to be a missionary. Amen. You know, but God's still in the business of sending missionaries. But the fact of the matter is, each and every one of us is a missionary to one degree or another. You know, I'm telling you, you might be the only lampstand, the only light in your neighborhood. You got to pray that God doesn't remove that lampstand. But have they not heard? Yes, indeed, they heard. Verse 19. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. He quotes from Deuteronomy 32:21. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. Okay? Verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me, the Gentiles. They weren't even looking for God, and they found him. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. What Paul is saying is, look, Israel was forewarned in Deuteronomy 32:21. If the Jews reject the true God, God would set them aside temporarily and turn to the Gentiles. And then the gospel would be preached to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. You know, it amazes me that there's so many Orthodox Jews would like Paul before he got saved, with a passion and a zeal for God, but they refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is their Messiah. And then they're looking at the whole world, Western civilization transformed, and through the gospel, through Gentiles believing in this Jesus guy who claimed to be the Jewish Messiah. And God's word says this is going to make his people, the Jewish people, jealous. And in the last days, they're going to see visions and have dreams. And then when all Israel cries out for Jesus, at that point, the Lord Jesus will return and rescue his people. The gospel is preached to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. Verse 21, but to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. See, this is another one of those reasons why I don't think that God saves us against our will. Now, none of us would will to trust in Jesus. God has to, through prevenient grace, enable the will, set the will free. But I think we still retain the ability to reject him. Because right here, to Israel, his own people, God is saying, all day long, I've stretched out my hands to them. I want to save them, but they're a disobedient and a contrary and a stubborn people. By the way, I grew up with the Italians. I'm half Italian, half Portuguese, from New Jersey. And I grew up with mainly Italians. And I really thought they were the most stubborn people on the planet Earth until I started reading about the Jews in God's word and how stubborn they could be. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with stubbornness as long as it's stubbornness for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not stubbornness against him. But it seems that the God of the Bible is not saying, oh, most Jews are not saved. Most Jews are hellbound because I just didn't feel like choosing them. He's saying, no, I stretched out my hands to them all day long. But they disobeyed and they turned their backs. And they tried to establish their own righteousness through works rather than trusting in my son Jesus for salvation. As Paul said earlier, they stumbled over the stumbling block. The cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then I'm going to just close with this. Let's take a look at just the first six verses of Romans 11. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. See, there's still a purpose for Israel. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Of the 12 tribes, Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. But he's basically saying, look, has God totally cast away his people? He says, can't be, because I'm Jewish and I'm saved. Okay, you could say the same about the apostles, and the early church were Jewish. So there's always a remnant of believing Jews, no matter what generation it is. Verse 2, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal, the false Canaanite god. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. In fact, we'll just stop right there. You know, Elijah the prophet had just won a battle with 450 prophets of the false god Baal about whose god is more powerful, whose god is going to bring down fire to miraculously light this sacrifice. And Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal as they cut themselves and cried out to their God for like 12 hours or so. And nothing happened. And then when he cried out to his God, God sent the fire. And he defeated the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel, the queen, the godless, demonic queen, she put out a hit on Elijah. And here this guy did not back down from 450 prophets. Now he loses courage. I think he was kind of burnt out, and he fled. And he prayed, God, take me home. Take my life. I want to die. God still hasn't answered that prayer. The guy still hasn't died. And God took him to heaven in a fiery chariot eventually. But he cried out, I'm all alone, I'm all alone, I'm all alone. You see, Elijah was acting like, you know, Lord, you sent me. Lord, I'm your preacher. But I'm getting tired. I'm getting battered. I'm getting beaten. And I'm all alone. And some of us here feel that way right now. Let me tell you, you were sent, and God wants you to proclaim the good news of salvation through Jesus to others. Okay? But let me tell you, you're not alone. God had to remind Elijah, there's 7,000 others, a remnant, who have not bowed the knee. Things look bad in America today. Things look very, very bad. The day's going to come when you're going to want to take your kids to Seattle. But you're going to say no, because if we go to Seattle, they got a different bathroom policy than we have. There's immorality going. It's going to get to the point where you could see immorality happening in broad daylight right on the street. And if you complain about it, you'll probably get arrested for hate speech. It's Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Okay? And so we're getting burnt out. But let me say, yes, you can feel burnt out. You can feel battered. You can feel beaten. Maybe you need a little downtime, a little quiet time with the Lord like Elijah did. Okay? Maybe you need a right-hand man or a right-hand woman. God provided Elisha for Elijah. So he didn't have to go it alone. But let me tell you, you might be battered. You might be beaten. But you are sent. And you are a preacher. You are a proclaimer of the good news. And let me tell you, point number three, you're not alone. There is a remnant. You know, they might cuff you and take you away and throw you in a prison cell. And hopefully you'll have a cellmate who's also another Christian. And you'll find out there's a remnant. But you are sent. God called you to preach Jesus to others. And there is a remnant. You're not alone. You know, and I mentioned this last night too, but the meaning in life, the true meaning in life is this. To know, personally know Christ and to make him known. You are sent to make him known. God left you on earth. He could have taken you to heaven the second you got saved, but he left you here for a reason. Not only do we personally know Jesus and then we're known by him, but we are to make him known. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, brothers and sisters? Just sit back and say, maybe the atheists will tell people about Jesus. Oh yeah, that's going to happen, right? If the people of God, if the church of God does not proclaim Jesus, no one else will. And so when God says, like he said to Isaiah, whom will I send? Let's tell God, send me. You know, Lord, I need a lot of work, but I trust you. I'm a man on clean lips. You'll do the work that needs to be done. But send me, Lord, send me. Let that be our prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we love you. And we love your gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus. Help us, Lord. This world has basically labeled the preaching of the gospel as hate speech. But we know that there could be no greater act of love than to share Jesus with our neighbors and our relatives and our co-workers. And so I just pray, Lord, that when you see that the harvest, the crops are ready for harvest and that there's no workers, the workers are few, I pray, Lord, that we would say, like Isaiah said, send me. Lord, send us and equip us to proclaim your truth, the good news of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in a world gone mad, even in a culture that hates your son, give us the boldness and the courage to preach Jesus until that day. when we see your son Jesus face to face. Remind us, Lord, there will always be a remnant. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.